Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
It's the best, hands down.
It's crystal clear.
I love it. The things you can make are awesome.
No one else has quality epoxy like this.
It's easy to mix.
Tim is such a wealth of knowledge.
It's got to be iCoat.
Welcome to the Resin Mastery Podcast, exploring iCoat epoxy. So welcome back to Resin Mastery, exploring iCoat epoxy. Today we have a special episode, and Rachel, you're back with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back. I know I was away for a while, just kind of busy with life stuff, but I am back and I am ready to get into it and talk about social media.
Yeah, so we've been thinking a lot because we get listener questions in, and people have been talking that, you know, I'm just starting to get into this, or I've been in it a while and it's not going as fast as I thought it would be. How can I accelerate that? Because I hear from these amazing ladies, like the ones we interviewed, Rachel, about how well they're doing with their business. How did they do that? So there is a myriad of options when it comes down to doing promotion for your company. But we're going to cover one just today. And as you said, Rachel, social media.
Mm-hmm. Which is a huge big deal in, oh my goodness, like, especially in the past, 10 years, people were doing social media or marketing. I would say even as early as like the early 2000s in their own kind of way, but social media didn't really exist the same way it does now. Like, it was like, I think LinkedIn was a thing. I think, you know, Facebook was a thing in like 2008. People were definitely putting their company stuff up, but today it's everywhere. If you're not doing this, you're behind the, you know, you're behind in the game. You're not getting traction with your business. I know people who make lovely products, but they can't manage social media and they don't do that. And then their price margins are like profit margins are so much lower because they're not reaching even one third of what they could reach.
Yeah. And that's true. One thing that is very interesting, and I've always said this to people, don't try and invent the wheel, just build a better mousetrap. So if you're in the resin industry and you're like, okay, this isn't working, this industry blows or sucks, as the young kids would say, right? but the funny part is it doesn't. It's huge. And there's more and more people out there getting married who want their bouquets preserved. There's memorials who want them preserved. There's pets preservation. Like, they want fur from their favorite dog who died preserved, in everything from mantelpiece ornaments to necklaces and rings and things. It's kind of crazy, right? But it's amazing, the business out there. So how do you reach these people? And I think what you were saying, Rachel, about the history of social media has changed so much because the use of the mobile phone has become so dominant that now they say 75% of all web searches and all web interactions happens on the phone. So Your website's got to be mobile ready. But then you think about all the different tools that are built. Like, TikTok's not built for your PC or your Mac.
No.
It's built for your phone. Instagram is for your phone. All these things. And Shorts are huge. I mean, the idea of building Shorts to promote your business is everything today. So when we look, and we'll dig in, Rachel, to some of these amazing artists who've done this really well, it comes down to utilizing their phone, utilizing TikTok, Instagram, Facebook Shorts, YouTube Shorts, and building a catalog of how-to videos, of here's what I just made videos, to, hey, here's the tip of the day from me. And it works wonders.
Yeah, it's interesting to see like the uptick in short form content in the past, I don't know, I guess it's been...
It's about 3 years since Earthquence really ramped up. That's the truth.
Yeah, yeah. And it's been around for as long as I've known, like around 5 or 6 years. And it was like kind of like slower to start. And then like 2022 rolled around and it was like everybody all the time. It's yep. all people talk about is TikTok this, Instagram Reels this, Facebook Shorts, you know, and it's like, huh, that's interesting. But it really is what people want. And it's, I think that the main reason behind it is because it is quick. You don't need to sit through a whole entire 14-minute video to get kind of the same exact gist that you can get in a 14-second video, which is so interesting that you can really compile so much data, so much information into a short amount of time and make it more digestible for the consumerism of it all, which I just think is very interesting.
No, it really is. And you know, my kids, I look at them and they've been TikToking and, you know, Snapchatting and everything from when I wasn't even like considering it, because a lot of the marketing I'd done in the past had been more enterprise level or corporate marketing where, you know, we were talking about long form content, deep pieces of content. The idea of explaining everything you do in 15 seconds was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
You know, but this is sort of where we're going. The attention span of people's got less and less and less. And it's like, just get to the point. I want to move on. Now, yeah. I've got to ask you this. What's your favorite social media to use?
Ooh, my personal favorite, you know, for somebody my age, I think I'm a little bit of an odd case because I don't have Snapchat. I don't really utilize Facebook. I'm not really on YouTube Shorts at all. I love Instagram, and that is my ride or die social media, because it was like when I was 12, Instagram became like a huge big thing and everyone was downloading one. So that's like my thing. And I love Reels because like just I'll scroll for hours. I will scroll for hours if I don't give myself the time limit thing on my app.
Right. Oh no, it can be. Look, even my father is addicted to Facebook Shorts. He loves airplane videos, so he's like scrolling away with the shorts on Facebook. I'm like, Dad, you're addicted to Facebook. at his age as well. And this is the thing, right? So I think what you said is interesting. The couple of social media outlets, Facebook especially, that you mentioned that you don't use, actually doesn't appeal to your demographic. It's actually a higher, older demographic that's on Facebook. You know, people want to connect with family and all that. Instagram, absolutely younger. It's like younger to mid, and then TikTok's very young. But what's really interesting about like really young. But what's really interesting about that is that, you know, it's becoming the be-all and end-all for people to showcase what they do. Now, they've all got links on there. Same with Pinterest, right? You can go on Pinterest, find a picture of an amazing flower preservation, click the link, go to someone's website, take a deeper dive. Or if it's, I want to make this, and there's a how-to 15-second video, click the link to the how-to video, go see how you make it. Right? So they're great little teasers for that. Now, one thing's interesting about it is this, right? Which is, I said this to a client the other day, everything now online is pay-to-play. If you start your own social media accounts tomorrow, the chances of you gaining traction without boosting posts and paying for ads is very slim.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, these are businesses with shareholders, with private equity and venture backing that want to make a lot of money for their shareholders and their investors. So as far as they're concerned, they want you to pay to build your audience. And I think they actually even utilize the algorithm where if all of a sudden you're starting to get traction, they then start sending you more ads and actually squashing your shareability because they want you to pay. And if they found out you were doing it for free, then they do it. You mentioned LinkedIn earlier, right? LinkedIn used to have open groups that were searchable on the web. All of a sudden, when people were running businesses by being searched on the web, going to LinkedIn, LinkedIn gave them the validation and they were making money. LinkedIn came in and changed it because they weren't making any money out of it. And I think you'll see the same thing with all of the others as well, is that's the end game, is how do they put money in their own pocket? And Ray, I'm going to give you a question here. You remember when you used to be able to scroll through Instagram and it was every 10th one was maybe a ad?
Yes. Yeah. And now it is like, well, it's interesting. You'll even scroll like one or two down and then it's actually ads that you can swipe through. So it's like a bundle of different ads, correct, which I thought I was like, what the heck is this? And then like you'll watch stories now and in between stories, there's ads and in between apps. And also it is funny too. They also drive their traffic to Instagram. Threads. Instagram Threads. So I was like, huh, that's actually really cool because that's their own social media that they've just had. So not only is it kind of an ad for another app, but it's also interactive in the way where you can see what content is on there without going there and click on something that you want. So I don't know. I think Instagram does a lot right, but then the ads thing, I'm like, I mean, people don't like ads when they don't want an ad, which is just always going to be a thing, but they're definitely way more common. I would say 80% more common and prevalent in the app than they used to be, like even like 6 years ago, five, 6 years ago.
Now, I've had people contact me through the show asking for me to give them some advice, consulting and help on advertising, which is something I do, which is all fine and dandy. But for our audience, let's start thinking now and let's give them a starting point. Okay, so you're just starting to do resin preservations and making jewelry, doing coasters and all these different things. Now, how do you get the word out? So, Rachel, let's talk about firing up your first Instagram and TikTok account with the idea being of what am I going to post? So what would you think the top five things would be that someone who's doing resin is going to post to start building an audience?
Definitely, as far as short term or short form content goes, I would say the how to's.
Yep.
I love a day in my life videos, seeing not only how people are doing the thing, but also what their life looks like as a result of doing that thing, because people like full picture. It's like, you know, a broader image of, oh, okay, I want my life to look like that. Just like any other influencer, you want to influence people to buy your product and maybe even to do it themselves too, depending on what you're doing. I would say definitely like the more interesting things that you do, like finding like, okay, like what is the product that you do and like explaining why.
Yeah, the maker videos are a big one, right? Where you show how to make something, end result type stuff and showcasing that. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's three. And I would say the other kind of two are like, okay, so these are the finished products. Look at all of my products, make like almost like a catalog, being like, you can do this, 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 and this. And then honestly, I'm having a hard time thinking of a fifth one. I feel like there's definitely so much more.
Yeah, oh, I think there is. I love what you said about the day in the life of. I think that's a really interesting one. I think this makes that videos are really exciting as well. Like you start with a bunch of different things and go, guess what I'm going to make? And boom, you make it, right? So there's a ton of them. You hit on the main ones. Story-wise, you mentioned stories earlier. How would you recommend for someone out there you know, you've got your own business making floral presentations. How are you going to use stories?
So Instagram and Facebook stories are connected. So that's like, you know, already one key thing that's like, oh, that's a little bit easier so that you're not having to like go post things. Just making sure that you're setting that as a setting to always automatically do it to both so that you get two different demographics possibly looking at that and driving that traffic on both. But I would say when it comes to doing like Instagram stories, like utilize the features that they have, post pictures, post videos on there, and like make sure that you're utilizing the link feature, that you're utilizing the music in the background feature. Make it interesting. Make it grab people's attention. I mean, like, you know, like it might be like bluntly said, but like make it trendy, you know, like, and sometimes that's hard to do. But I think the number one thing that you would have to do in order to do that is know your market, number one. So get a good idea of that going into it when you're posting a story. Figure out based off of your data what your demographic would look like, or what you're at least projecting it to be. Tailor it to that after going online and looking at what are some things I'm seeing that are like hot, you know, that are on like the Billboard top 100 ideas.
Yeah. And look, Trina, for our audience as well, there is no easy way from start to success. It's a slog. I remember a story about a lady called Gwen Stefani who was in the band No Doubt, and she's on America's Got Talent or American Idol, one of the two. And she was asked when she actually became a pop star, you know, what is it like to become an overnight success? She said, well, if 12 years of slugging around bars and playing, you know, every dive in town is overnight success, it feels great. That's the thing. It takes a moment. It feels like it doesn't when you get there. It's like climbing a ladder. 30 rungs up looks a long way until you're 30 rungs up with another 30 to go, and it seems like you're there, right? So it's a constant case of just, you know, one step at a time, making yourself there. I think you mentioned something really good earlier as well, Rachel, about connecting the dots with links. Too many people will post something and it's outgoing, but they don't think about, how does anyone get in touch with me?
Yeah.
Like if they're not a follower, and you actually have to encourage people to follow, you should have a button and use the badges that say subscribe now or follow today or like, whatever that is. You've got to encourage the action that you want other people to take, because otherwise the easy option is I'm just going to do nothing and scroll on to the next video. So they're really good things that you actually have to do to keep this moving. And then if you have a website as well, connect your social media all the way back into your website too.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've found like a clothing company that I really like, because I really like to find good Christian clothing companies that are good quality. A lot of them are just kind of like, you know, some crappy brand that it's like, okay, these prints don't look good. They don't look quality, like threads or anything like that. So it's like, So when I find a good one, I'll follow them and then I'll go to their page and I'll see if they do have a link so I can go to their website. But then I noticed that it's kind of just like an Instagram store and that's it. And there's no webpage. And what would you say? I'm having a hard time thinking of the word.
The trust factor,
the reputation of it is lessened in my mind automatically when somebody doesn't have a website. And the website could be total, like, it could be just totally trash. You know, it doesn't even need to be like a good website, but just as long as they have one that's at least built in conjunction with their online store, in conjunction with posts, and having, gonna be honest, a lot of people, if they see under 1,000 or even a couple thousand followers, that is an automatic like thing. And that's just our brains, which is sad, because when you're building up your business and you really only have like 300 followers, you're like, I know people think that this is like a scam, or they're, you know, they don't think it's cool yet. But that's why it's so important to, while you have that little of followers, to be engaging, to do all of the things that are necessary to, you know, to drive that to your website so people can see the reputability of you and what you're doing, and like get testimonies on your products, like send people even a little bit of free product if you have to, in order to get, like, you know, feedback, right?
And so, you know, I you said something brilliant here, right? And I think this will be our closing remarks on this, which is, because the human trait is to follow things that are successful. Mm-hmm. When we see lots of followers, we think, oh, it's successful, I should jump in too. Uh-huh. But we know that by doing that, all we're doing is rewarding all these scammers who build these fake sites, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I always tell clients, there's a difference between followers and engaged followers. Mm-hmm. If you've got 1 million people following you and not two of them are willing to do anything for you, who cares? But like, the people fake themselves into that. They're paying scammers. They're basically cheating the system, thinking that that's going to work. And sometimes it does work. That's the sad case. Sometimes it does work. And you may get more followers, but unless the content's legitimate in the first place, you're not going to get engaged followers. So, Rachel, that great feedback. Gosh, this has been a really good, quick insight into getting started with social media to build your business as well. So any closing thoughts from you?
Honestly, just, you know, to anybody who's looking to get into this, just make sure that you are doing your research, that you're taking your time, that you're thoughtful. But don't attach yourself to any one idea too much, because things change in social media every day. Like, it could just change on a dime. And like, there's the tried and true methods, but then there's those small nuances that do often change. And it's, you know, you got to stay with the times. Like, that's just,
no, you just, that's how it is. Look, that's great advice. My one would be like, pick maybe two or three max outlets and just dominate them.
Exactly. And
I think then you'll be able to set yourself up, measure the things that you can, followers, likes, views, all that sort of thing. You'll get an idea of what works for you with a particular audience. So yeah, Rachel, until next time, I think that's a great show on social media for our audience and for our listeners. Yeah, contact us through the website. Hit us with even comments on the show on different sites like Spotify and things like that. And we always actually try and reply. So until next time, Resin Mastery, Explore Nightcode Epoxy, and we'll see you again.
Bye, guys.